Welcome, everybody, to Biblical Resources for the fourth Sunday of Advent. Our Gospel is Matthew 1, 18 to 24. It begins. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. Initial observations. Advent 4 takes us back to the conception of Jesus. The story in Matthew 1:18-24, an Annunciation to Joseph, corresponds to Luke 1:26-38, an Annunciation to Mary. The excerpt omits, for liturgical reasons, the next verse, which reads, "But he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus." This is an accurate, if slightly awkward, translation of Matthew 1:25. Old Testament background. Number 1. Joseph. The name Joseph reminds the aware biblical reader of another Joseph in the book of Genesis. That Joseph was a dreamer, threatened by his brothers, who went down to Egypt. Because of his position, Egypt became a place of refuge for his family. The character of our Joseph and the narrative surrounding him all come from Genesis 37-50. Number 2. Divorce was allowed by inference in Deuteronomy 24:1-4, although no legislation formally permits it. The rabbis discuss warmly the conditions under which a man might divorce his wife. Number 3. Son of David. The relationship with David immediately calls to mind the guarantee and promise to the house of David made by the prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel 7, and the prayer version of it in Psalm 89. David was the anointed shepherd king of Israel, language significant in Matthew. In the centuries before Jesus' birth, people's hopes focused on a restoration of the kingdom of David as a mark of God's continued faithfulness to his people. Number 4. Jesus is the Greek for Joshua, the name of Moses' successor, who actually led the people into the promised land. The name comes from Hebrew or Aramaic and means Yahweh is our salvation, or Yahweh saves or has saved. Messiah or Christ is not found in the Hebrew Bible pointing to an expected end-time agent of God's salvation. That language and expectation developed in the last 2 centuries before the birth of Jesus. Number 5. The promise in Isaiah 7:14 is read as a messianic prophecy. In its original context, this text promised a successor to King Ahaz, born in the normal way. The Hebrew says Alma, which could be a young woman and or a virgin. The early Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, used the word virgin, taken up here by Matthew because it fits with his account of Jesus' conception. Kind of writing. Number one. Communication in a dream. The clear prototypes are again Jacob and his famous ladder, and Joseph with a coat of many colours. Otherwise, the Bible is hesitant, not to say suspicious, of divination by dreams. Number two, annunciation type story. These stories show the following pattern. One, appearance of an angel. Two, fear and or prostration. Three, message. Four, objection. Five, sign. This can be found in the Old Testament for Ishmael, Genesis 16:7-12, Isaac, Genesis 7:1-21, Genesis 18:1-12, Samson, Judges 13:3-21. And in the New Testament, for John the Baptist in Luke 1:11-20, and for Jesus in Luke 1:26-38. Our version in Matthew is missing one element, the sign. The angel comes in a dream, and there is a message. Implied are A, fear, do not be afraid, and B, an objection. Joseph wants a divorce, and the angel, somehow or other, is aware of this. Number three, fulfillment of prophecy. Five times in chapters 1 to 5, Matthew says the events described fulfill something from the Hebrew Bible. The purpose is to underline continuity, that is, God's fidelity, even in the unexpected context of a Jewish Christian community of faith. New Testament foreground. Number one, Matthew is the only gospel to give the meaning of the name Jesus. Intriguingly, he increases the occurrence of the name in the Passion narrative from 10 times to 17 times, perhaps because he wants us to hear the etymology and its meaning as we hear the story of Jesus' death for us. Number two, Emmanuel, literally God with us. As is well known, the Gospel's first mention of Jesus includes this name, and this Gospel closes with a final evocation, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age, in Matthew 28:20. An inspiration from St. Paul. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. Galatians 4:4-7. Brief commentary. In a discreet way, using narrative, Matthew achieves a tremendous theology of the child to be born. Son of David, the new Joshua, Saviour, God with us, all brought by the Holy Spirit and divine intervention. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. The virginal conception of Jesus is a tradition which predates both Matthew and Luke, as they both contain it independently. A conception outside wedlock serves to make that lack of human causality apparent. The Holy Spirit as the agent is found also in Luke. Verse 19. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. In this way, the good character of Joseph is affirmed. Verse 20. But just when he resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. These are Annunciation-type story details. Son of David, legal paternity is traced to the husband. Do not be afraid is one of the most common expressions across the whole Bible. Anyone who is anyone in the biblical narrative needs and receives this reassurance. The fear intended is not emotional fright, but so to speak, ontological dread before the mystery of God. Verse 21. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Saving people from sins is part of Matthew's theology of the cross. That is why he increases the occurrence of the name Jesus in the Passion narrative. Verse 22. All this took place to fulfil what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. As elsewhere, a citation for proof of veracity and continuity. Verse 23. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Virginity, essential before marriage, but a catastrophe if lifelong, is a symbol of unrealized potential, exactly that period of longing after disappropriation and disappointment envisaged in the genealogy in Matthew as the setting for the coming of the Messiah. Verse 24. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. Joseph is always obedient to his dreams. See Matthew 2:13 and 2:19. Pointers for prayer. As we move into prayer on the passage, we move from consideration of the mystery of how God with us was revealed to the world in the person of Jesus 2,000 years ago, to a reflection on how we become aware of God with us now in our daily lives. Number one, it took some time for Joseph to accept the fact that in Mary there truly was Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us now, but at times we struggle to perceive God's presence. Where have you unexpectedly discovered the presence of God with you? Recall those experiences and give thanks. Number two, Joseph was confused and uncertain about what he should do. It was difficult for him to discern what his next step should be. Perhaps you have also had to make difficult journeys on the way to some decisions or commitments. Recall that journey and the moments when it became clear to you what was being asked of you. Give thanks for the angels who helped you along the way. Number three, Mary bore Jesus within her, unseen to all and unacknowledged by most. In Joseph she found one who believed in the treasure that she bore. We can be bearers of Jesus to others and they to us. When have you been a bearer of Jesus to another, and who has been that to you? Number four. The experience of having a gift that others do not see or recognize can be painful and isolating. Then someone comes like Joseph to Mary, who gets to believe in what we have to offer. Has this happened to you? And what was it like? Prayer. Eternal God, in the Psalms of David, in the words of the prophets, in the dream of Joseph, your promise is spoken. At last, in the womb of the Virgin Mary, your word takes flesh. Teach us to welcome Jesus, the promised Emmanuel, and to preach the good news of his coming, that every age may know him as the source of redemption and grace. We ask this through him whose coming is certain, whose day draws near, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A brief thought for the day. In a culture where God is apparently absent, it may sound strange to hear words such as "do not be afraid" and "God is with us." Such assurances are at the heart of our biblical faith from start to finish. Everyone who is anyone in the Bible is told not to be afraid. And the assurance, "I will be with you," is found throughout, starting with the very name of God in Exodus 3:14, "I am who I am." The God in whom we live and move and have our being is there all along, whether we are aware of it or not. Faith is the moment of discovery and recognition. Prayer. You are with us always. You are with us in creation in all its splendour, in our fellow human beings in all their generosity. You are with us in the quiet where we are alone with you. Amen. Thank you very much, everybody.